Welcome to the City of Centerville Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Time is 6:33. We call to order and we'll start with the oath of office for two members.
Chair, do is, I'll ask each of the new members to stand up one at a time and we'll swear them in. Judy, if you'd like to go first. Follow along if you need to. So raise your right hand. I, Jeannie Sepulveda.
I, Jeannie Sepulveda.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And of the state of Minnesota.
And of the state of Minnesota.
And faithfully discharge.
And faithfully discharge.
Duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
A commission member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
A commission member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Of the City of Centerville.
Of the City of Centerville.
And the County of Anoka.
And the County of Anoka.
State of Minnesota.
State of Minnesota.
To the best of my judgment and ability.
To the best of my judgment and ability.
Mr. McCabe. Right hand. I, Matthew McCabe.
I, Matthew McCabe.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And of the state of Minnesota.
And the state of Minnesota.
And faithfully discharge.
And faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
A commission member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
A commission member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Of the City of Centerville.
Of the City of Centerville.
And the County of Anoka.
And the County of Anoka.
State of Minnesota.
State of Minnesota.
To the best of my judgment and ability.
To the best of my judgment and ability.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
All right, Mark, if you want to do roll call.
Commissioner McCabe.
Present.
Present.
Commissioner Kalina.
Present.
Commissioner Kruger.
Present.
Commissioner Olson.
Present.
Commissioner Sepulveda.
Present.
Commissioner Nelson.
Present.
All right, and next we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, if you can stand.
Please play. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, if we, before we approve the agenda, Mark, do we have any additions or subtractions?
We do not.
Okay, so I can get a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll motion to approve the agenda.
A second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Next, we're going to go right into public hearings. Tonight, we have a public hearing for the preliminary plat and plan unit development of the Peltier Estates. I might need a motion to open the public hearing. Mark, do you want to...
Mr. Commissioner, I think, or Mr. Chair, what we'll do is we'll give a staff report and then just kind of have a brief discussion, and then usually then it's appropriate to then open the public hearing, take public input, close the public hearing, or sometimes people will leave it open for a bit while you discuss, but up to you, Mr. Chair. But I think usually we'll go for the staff report first, and then you can open it after that.
Okay, so. If you want to lead the staff report, Mark?
Yeah, thank you. So I'll just introduce it here, and then we've got our planner, Phil, who's going to kind of lead us through his memo. It's a unique project in that this is the third time the Planning and Zoning Commission has seen this. Now, of course, I'm not sure how many of you were here in 2017 when it came first, and then again in 2021 when it came second time. Both times, the proposal has been pretty much identical. This time around, it's identical as well. Very few tweaks. I think along the line, the county did require a right turn lane, a southbound right turn lane into the development at one point in the early goings. And then a lot of the discussion about the trail, I think, was still included in that first submittal. So it might have not been in the submittal, but it was definitely in the discussion and what we had approved going forward. Both plans were taken to the public hearing stage and got to the sort of the end of the line and ready for full approval by the council. In fact, I think the first one was actually approved by the council. It just never went forward. So with that, the developer is here, and we can can certainly ask her to comment on any of the questions you may have about the development. But with that, I guess I'll just let Phil kind of go over, again, even though this is the third time around in this development, it is unique to a lot of you that have not seen it before. And so I want to make clear that just because this is the third time and other previous planning commissions, as Phil mentioned, you know, precedent is not important. You know, a year goes by, you can change your mind. And so more than a year has gone by since the last time this was considered. And so there's nothing to say that you guys, this planning commission and the city council later, couldn't take a totally different direction with this project. But I think there's also value in reminding ourselves that other planning commissioners have looked at this and thought it was pretty well vetted. And so I just want to make sure that we don't feel trapped that this we have to reapprove this because it's been approved before. But I also want us not to lose sight of the fact that other people have looked at it and found it to be good too. So with that, Mr. Carlson.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair and Commissioners, the request in front of you is for a conditional use permit for a planned unit development on the property called Peltier Estates. And this is 18 some acres. It's currently vacant, and as Mark said, it's been the subject of some planning and engineering for many years. And what's in front of you tonight is a preliminary plat that's virtually identical to what you've seen previously, that it puts these home lots on a single cul-de-sac street. And Mark, you might pull up that report and just show it so that we can refer to it. And this is, as we were just mentioning before the meeting in the session, this is a classic planned unit development, that here's a property with some significant features, wetlands and ponding areas, and how do you develop it in a reasonable manner? And it would not be reasonable to try and expect it to meet the minimum lot sizes the gross density. But with this approach, you shrink the lot sizes, concentrate the lots along that one street, and leave the wetlands alone. And of course, you can see the wetlands compromise more than half of the property, and it's quite a challenge to thread that road and the lots through there, but they've done a great job to do that, to put these 24 lots on there. So this is a representation of the plat, and as you know it in the fine print, I've added the actual units, the potential homes on there, that are not actually on the plat, just the lot lines on the plat. What we have here, instead of 15,000 square foot minimum single family lots, you've got 4,100 to 5,600 square foot lots. But again, in this context, they are tighter together, but you've got all this open space and wetlands around it. Same with the lot widths, of course, they're squeezed down. The front setbacks and the rear setbacks are also reduced. But again, behind every one of these lots, you've got a huge expanse of open space and wetland. So this does apply that principle that we're looking at the property as a whole. And it's important to note that overall, this density is only about 1.3 units an acre. So if we saw a small lot, single family development that looked like these lots, I would expect it to come in at 8 or 9 units an acre, and it doesn't because there's so much open space here. So that's the basic rationale behind this approach. And again, this is how it has been discussed, and previous commissions and councils have thought this was a reasonable approach to the development of the property here. But down to a few of the details, there would be one street, cul-de-sac, that serves all these lots. The individual lots, the 24 lots, would be individual lots to be sold privately, and then all the rest of the property is one lot, that lot 25, which is all of that common open space, and most of that is wetland. The one other detail to note is that There's been talk, discussed and agreed that it would be a good idea to have a trail connection. Early versions of planning on this tried to see if you could actually get the street to connect to Bryan Drive down off the south side of the property, but you'd have to plow through the wetlands. And so rather than do that, they said, let's leave the street as a dead-end cul-de-sac, but at least provide a trail connection. And so we've shown that. And a trail easement is not shown on a plat, but it could and would be entered into as a separate easement to be recorded with the property. So there may be other issues or questions that you have, and we endeavor to answer them. This was reviewed by the city engineer and can be served with sewer, water, and stormwater management, and we'll leave those details if Mark wants to comment on that. But kind of the bottom line is our recommendation is to recommend approval of this PUD, and it's the concept plan stage. There's two steps in the PUD process, concept plan and then development stage, which is the detailed approval, and the preliminary plat, which lays out the lots and the subdivision with the conditions, and I won't read them, but four conditions and seven findings of fact associated with this. Mark, anything to add, or that I left out?
No, I think, yeah, the early discussion here, again, was about whether or not this cul-de-sac should connect into Bryan Drive. If you do, if you look at the right-of-way on Bryan Drive coming north there, you'll note that there's not really a bulb of right-of-way, that it is platted like it's going to continue on straight through, and that was the plan at one point in time, whenever that development was done, probably in the 90s, right about the time wetland rules were starting to come into play, and, you know, it was well-intended. We endeavor to not have as many cul-de-sacs. We like to have connectivity to our streets, and but with the amount of wetlands that it would have impacted, it probably would have made it, you know, just prohibitive cost-wise and just in environmental impacts-wise as well. The trail connection is an important one, we feel, because this allows that development to get over to Acorn Creek Park, which is sort of the neighborhood hub park, without going out onto the highway and, you know, backing around on 73rd. So I think that that's an important one. We have talked with the developer and previous agreements had that as a boardwalk. You can fill limited amounts of wetland. It's not that you can't, but to avoid some of those fills, we can use a boardwalk type system and have less environmental impacts. And I think we've talked through that with the developer, and I think that's the best way to approach that particular part of the trail. So, one thing that maybe has sort of taken place since the last time these things were contemplated is that this property here, you'll notice there's a kind of a 1 acre carve out. This entire 20 acre section used to be owned by the Moore family. They sold the 19 acres to Sharper Homes, or Sharper, whatever the corporation is, a number of years ago, and retained that 1 acre parcel here. They have since sold that to, if you recall, some planning commissioners recall that that was brought before us, and we dealt with a few zoning issues there to allow that to be remodeled into a duplex. That's currently underway, that the building permit's been issued, and they're remodeling that home into a duplex. There was hope at one point in time that that 1 acre could be kind of incorporated into this development as a whole. It just didn't pencil out in terms of how, you know, how you get a road stubbed down to there. We asked Sharper to look at that and to consider purchasing that 1 acre and adding it into the whole mix. Again, it just didn't work geometrically. It just didn't fit. It's an interesting puzzle piece. You can see there's still chunks of open land that aren't developed, but this is just really the best you can do. I mean, I think we went through a number of iterations that first time in 2017. I remember Phil drew a couple of variations of this, and we landed on this just because it's the least invasive to the wetlands while still maximizing the use of the property. and sort of the tax base that we get out of it. A trail has been considered, so right where my cursor is here, there is a trail segment that goes into the Deer Pass cul-de-sac, and maybe while we're thinking about that, I can pull that up in the background here, but there's a trail segment that goes to the north out of the end of that cul-de-sac that was sort of intended, again, just like Brian Drive was, good intentions that that trail would continue and serve these 20 acres. You know, in the midst of all that, and how it shook out with the 1 acre parcel there, I'm just not sure that that trail segment is necessary anymore, and or connection to it, whether or not it's necessary. What is likely to happen here is that we would require that a trail be constructed just from the cul-de-sac down across the property here, and we can ask that that be a condition we talk about tonight, is that the developer construct that short section of trail. Then the city may have to finish that connection off down to Deer Pass with some developer funds, you know, from the park dedication fund or whatever. But that would allow Deer Pass's residents to then get up to here and make that loop down the cul-de-sac, even though there's not a sidewalk or trail on the cul-de-sac, you're at least walking on a small, not very busy road, right? Feel safe with your family, and make that loop down to Acorn Creek Trail again as well.
Mark, is there any other trail that exits from Deer Pass other than that one?
There's not, just that one to the north, yeah. Other than that, no, and I don't know, Mr. Chair, if you want to bring up the developer to just let them offer any comments that they might have.
Do we open the hearing first, or you want to just...
Up to you, totally up to you.
When I open the public hearing, I make a motion for it.
You can do it yourself, or you can ask for a motion, either way.
I'll do it myself. At this time, at 6:49, I'll open the public hearing. If you want to come up and speak, make sure you say your name and your address. At this time, if the developer would like to come up first and give us the rundown on it.
Hello, my name is Carrie Clark. I'm from Sharper Homes, Sharper Communities. One of them is the development arm, one of them is the home building arm. I don't really have a lot to add other than at this time, it would be Sharper Homes' intention to build all of the townhomes. The Sharper Communities would develop it, and then we ourselves would be building them out. Any questions?
What size house? I mean, what's some price, market range and stuff? Is it going to be detached, one level, or what?
Yep. We've done a similar product that we're contemplating here in the Lakes. I don't know if you're familiar with some of the townhomes. They're detached townhomes, slab homes with loft options. Yeah, price range probably around, you know, $650 to $800, maybe. Depends on how fancy people are getting with interest rates these days.
What's the total square footage on a unit like that usually?
I can't remember what we had planned initially, but you know, we're kind of trying to get the box as tight as we can right now, so probably 1,600.
And are you looking to start like this year? I mean, moving earth and
moving on, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, just had a couple other ones. These would all be Sharper built homes than, so would they be built on spec or would they be built as they're sold or?
Yep, we do both. We put in a model and a spec typically and try not to sell the model and use that as the store and then get things on contract. It's kind of a different time right now, so we might end up having to spec build it to be a bit more aggressive with it.
Anticipated timeline for full sale build out?
Well, I mean, we would hope for 2.5 years. That's what we would hope for.
This would be association maintained. I'm guessing, is there any any involvement from the homeowners, or is it all no snow, no mow type of setup?
No snow, no mow, but we would have everybody have their own homeowners insurance for the roof and the siding and those kinds of things. It would really just be a groundskeeping kind of association.
I just have a background question. With Sharper Communities, did you postpone this project because you had other developments going on and that required your attention?
Exactly.
Okay.
We had a couple other developments at the time, and we were just kind of, I mean, we're a small family company. It was just kind of divided focus, and this one kind of got a little crunchy for a minute there, and we just had, you know, had other focuses, and those have wrapped up now, and now we need some lots.
That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Does anybody else have any questions? All right, thank you. Anybody from the audience want to speak?
I'm Megan Olson, and I live on Deer Pass. I guess most of my questions have been answered, but just out of my curiosity, like most developments I've seen, like they just, they come through and they, you know, mostly clear everything. I know with all the wetlands, I was wondering if like, if it will all be cleared out and just leave the wetlands, or like what it's gonna look like with all the trees, like in all the, you know, animals we have back there. That's just my only question.
Mr. Chair, I think I could probably answer that, and Carrie, stop me if I'm wrong, but there will be some wetland impacts. What's not shown quite here on Phil's fancy coloring job is that there are wetland impacts. This wetland kind of comes through here, this wetland complex. So there are impacts where you see the street and the homes, and then, you know, a little bit outside of the boundary of the homes in terms of grading. But for the most part, the bulk of the wetlands will be left alone. Obviously, not only is it required by law, but, you know, Carrie and her company will need to pay for those whatever square, it's about $2 a square foot these days, or better. So every square foot you impact by filling it is expensive. And so they're trying to minimize impacts to the wetland. And so I don't anticipate there'll be any tree clearing in the wetlands just for the sake of clearing trees. Right, that's also expensive. So, and of course everyone likes trees. And so, I think in that sense, you've got a nicely protected development. You're correct. Otherwise, normally it's clear cut everything, grade everything, and start from scratch with trees. In this case, we do have that ability to kind of protect those trees. And that's part of what the exchange of the PUD is here too, right, is that we're allowing this flexibility to ensure that we have minimum impacts to wetlands and trees. I did bring up the aerial photo just to give people some context here to, I'll find my cursor again here. So this is the 19 acres up here. This is Bryan Drive. It does have a cul-de-sac in it, but you can see the right-of-way is not really set up for that, but that will remain. There will be no connection to Bryan Drive with this proposal. And it's hard to see here. I suppose if I zoom in, I could show you that better. There is this path that runs out of the north end of the cul-de-sac. Miss Olson's house is right next to the path. And, you know, there's as a condition of the zoning approvals we gave, I forget his name, Bill, the gentleman that was redeveloping this house here, we asked that he grant us a trail easement either heading west off that trail or heading east off that trail. And I think then the third option, and I've discussed with Ms. Olson and her neighbors a bit at the open house, just whether or not we even connect the trail at all. It really ends up only serving maybe the half dozen homes or so in this cul-de-sac, and then the rest of them would likely come out to the county road. Let me just zoom out just a little bit more here. So if we kind of completed that path connection between the new cul-de-sac and Deer Pass, and then, you know, really a short distance down here to 73rd, you'd have a very nice loop there along the county road, but off the county road, not just walking on the shoulder. All the way around to Acorn Creek Park and such. And so I think that's a nice way to connect this development. And I think that even though that path was well intended at one time, I just don't know, without this property having redeveloped, it just doesn't make a lot of sense because it's aiming at the middle of that property and it just doesn't feel real good to kind of then take a weird jog around through here.
Would that path be abandoned then?
Yeah, so Public Works and I have tossed that idea around. There is a manhole back there. There is some utilities that that path is a bit convenient, you know, for us to access that sewer manhole in emergencies and stuff like that. So we may just leave it as a public access point. But we could certainly, you know, obviously at some point when that path kind of becomes in disrepair, we may have to revisit that. But for now, we don't have a plan to demolish it necessarily. The other thing is not doing that right now. But I don't think that we can probably force Sharper Homes to build that section of trail because it's off their plat. And just because we build a trail out on the county road doesn't mean that in the future we couldn't connect that up. You know, it's a decision we can make at some point in the future. We can still certainly reserve that easement right from this property. So I think delaying that decision a bit just to see how that plays out and see if the folks in that neighborhood are able to, you know, feel comfortable using that trail on the county road might be a better way to go. Again, I want to make clear that there is not a sidewalk planned in the development, and that's because it's so tight between in the right-of-way there. It just won't be room for a sidewalk to be pulled in there. A lot of the front yard setbacks here are a lot less than normal, so normally we would have a 30 to 35 foot setback depending on the zoning district. In this case, somewhere as low as 15 feet, which means about 25 feet or so to the curb line. And that's, you know, barely enough for a full-size pickup with a hitch on it to not interfere with the snow plow and that kind of thing to be in the driveway. So I don't know, maybe Carrie, if you could come back up to the podium just to explain, will there be any covenants or anything on your association that require or prohibit parking in driveways or anything like that?
We typically do. I mean, we haven't really thought this through since the 2021, but yeah, we typically do have parking restrictions in the driveways. We don't want to have that in our association.
And, you know, obviously that's good. It still doesn't, I think, eliminate the fact that we want a driveway that's long enough to accommodate a truck, because during the day or whatever, you don't want that to be an issue. But that's, I think, a positive too, that a neighborhood has those restrictions to not have cars sitting in the driveway.
I just want that too, so.
Yeah.
Have there been any other concerns by the residents?
I did get one question today, just through email. Let me just check if you wanted me to share that with everybody. I can share in general what he said, but I did not get a reply from him. But just a resident that asked about the connection to Bryan Drive. I think he was just concerned that it wanted to make sure that it was not going to connect to Bryan Drive, and that was still the plan. I emailed him back, said that was still the plan. He mentioned he was not in favor of the project, but, you know, as long as Bryan Drive was not connected, he felt that that was going to be okay. His main concern was just traffic on 20th Avenue, building and building and building. And, you know, that's, of course, this development will add to that. But, you know, in comparison to Watermark and to what's coming to the north of this at some point in time, and, you know, this is going to be a teaspoon in the ocean at some point. Other than that, I have not
just
heard
one.
Any, yeah, just
and
one
then,
other comment, yeah.
And then Megan's question about the development of the clearing of the property.
Yeah, I think okay. That's been the only concern. Like I said, we did have some informal conversations with Megan and another neighbor just about the trail segment there. And I think we kind of talked through that a little bit, but other than that, no, I haven't heard anything else from the public.
Anybody else have any questions?
Mr. Chair, to close the public hearing, we should have a motion to do that,
yep.
Not just do it yourself.
Mr. Okay. Chair, if I might, just okay. Two quick questions. Yeah. Mark, just curious, Will that street be wide enough for a snowplow to plow and turn around, or is there other plans?
Mr. Mayor, it's a good point that, a lot of times you see developments like this, there'll be a private street. This is a public street, this will be a public street with public right-of-way. It is slightly smaller than our normal width, so our normal width is 33 feet face-to-face. This is a 30-foot wide street. By comparison, the ones we did in downtown, because of such tight right-of-way, were 28 feet wide, so this is a good-sized street. I think Baby Villas, I believe, was the same dimension, so if you drive down Baby Villas, and the look and the feel of that street will be this, very similar to this. And again, that, that street width was a compromise just because we want it to be wide enough to plow and to make sure that, you know, if a car is parked on the road, that the fire engine can get by, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, every foot counts when we're trying to keep that garage a fair distance away from the curb, to make sure we're not hanging into the street with our cars.
But we're okay for plows and garbage trucks.
Yeah,
and,
yep.
Okay. My second question was, and you guys probably vetted this out holistically, but when it comes to the path, are we impacting more houses and building more trail going down 20th than we would be cutting through?
So I think the trail on 20th will be done without, when you say impacting how homes, being next to them?
Well, being next to them, taking land from them that they may
currently... I don't anticipate any land takings. I would anticipate all that fitting within the existing right-of-way, with the exception of... the 1 acre parcel there, we'll need to get some land from them, but that's been part of our agreement with them, is that they were to dedicate that with the approvals. So I don't anticipate any taking. If you would, the trail would kind of come out, if you can imagine, on this drawing here, in here somewhere, and then if we were to go this direction, you know, there is some upland here, but now you're going to have to really kind of snake it between two of these houses. It would be, it'd be difficult. I'm also not sure that, you know, again, for folks kind of doing that loop, I keep going back to loops, and I think being a father of small children now, I've learned the loop system. We all go out for little walks, and you get your little loops that you get in. I think it would be an awkward loop for people to kind of weave through Deer Pass to get to this connection, and I think that with the corridor study that we're doing with 20th Avenue, this corridor is going to mature into a more urbanized section, and I think it's going to feel more context appropriate at that point to be out on the county road.
Thank you.
I have a question. What is the timeline for the path?
I think that's an important question, Don. I think that it's not in our CIP right now. We need to incorporate that. This development will, someone help me with the math, 24 times 3, $72,000 contribution to our park fund. Goes a long ways towards building a path, maybe not all the way. We have other monies there that can help. And it's not to say that that $72,000 has to be spent on this trail, but so I think that we can work it in. I think also we'll look at the 20th Avenue corridor study and determine whether it's appropriate to wait for that, some of the improvements contemplated with that, to build this path. So, and I'm sorry, Ms. Kalan, I should have clarified, the path here between the cul-de-sac and Bryan Drive, that would be built with the development right away.
But the 20th.
But the 20th Avenue one, and I should say that this chunk of it would be built right away. We'll make the developer build that chunk of it right away. The rest of it that would be city responsibility, you know, we can. That's on us what timing that would take place, but I think that, you know, sooner rather than later would be nice. But, you know, if, for instance, coming out of that 20th Avenue corridor study, we say, well, there's going to be a roundabout project there at 73rd and Centerville Road coming in 2027, well, maybe we wait for this, that project to do it all at the same time to get a better price and that kind of stuff. You know, I think the nice thing about that trail segment is we're really not shortchanging these folks at all, because that they will have that connection to Bryan Drive, at least to come back and forth. And the Deer Pass thing has been there for since Deer Pass was put in, so it's not that we necessarily owe those folks a trail segment right away. I'm sure that they would like it sooner rather than later. You know, they've got young kids too, but I do think we have to plan that, make sure it's appropriately phased. But it will definitely, it will stick out. Once this is there, it'll stick out like, boy, I wish we had a connection here. You know, it's kind of been the history of our trail segments. Back in 2007, 8, 9-ish, when we built our large trail connect, it was called the Trail Connections Project, because there were just connections missing all over town. You sort of build things piecemeal and you go, why didn't we connect this or that? And sometimes it takes a little while to fix those things, and they start to become obvious. People start beating a path down the grass to get from one segment to the other, and you go, well, maybe we should build a path here. So,
thank you.
All right, if I can get a motion from someone to close the public hearing.
I'll motion.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. All right, moving on. There's no awards, presentations, or appearances tonight. And next item is old business. The concept plan for 1687 Westview Street, the LaLonde proposal. You can leave this mark.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to, there's nothing official, no official action needed here. All I wanted to do is kind of just make sure that people saw the most recent plan here for the LaLonde property. Sorry, I'll bring it up here. This was submitted just a few days ago. So a couple just things that have changed since the last time you might have seen this is that we had a significant discussion with them regarding fire lane access to the building. And you know, a three-story building, even though it's sprinklered, really needed to have access around three sides, what we felt. And so we asked for that fire lane on the north side. They kind of came back and with a little bit reimagined thought, which is that if you recall, there was a 24-space parking lot down here on the southwest corner of the site, and everyone agreed, even the developer, just that was going to be an eyesore. We heard comments from the public about that as well, and so they were able to eliminate that by placing that parking underneath the patio here. There's this raised patio in the middle, so now the underground parking is not only under the white part of the building here, but it's also underneath the patio. So they tucked those 24 spots underneath there, and then by doing that, they were able to then kind of, in addition, they kind of squeezed the building down in the middle, eliminated a few units, so we're down to 104 units from 110, and then we're able to put this fire lane and access. So now the entrance to the underground parking will now be on the north side of the building as opposed to the west side, southwest side. And so it'll serve both as a fire lane and entrance point to the underground parking. And the other thing they do is they took that north leg of the building and just kind of angled it out just like maybe 5 degrees or so. And that's to add some better visibility for those units that face the lake or face south, kind of. Just add a little bit more lake view for them. And also just to kind of fit in with the topography a little bit better. This building is going to generate a lot of excavation. As you can imagine, that hill is a big hill. And just that angling of it helped with the driveway along the north side and the entrance there being a little bit more square when it comes in, and just again to fit with the topography and the views for everybody. So those are kind of the major changes. The ponding got a little bit bigger. I think they finally put some math to that and figured out that ponding would be a little bit bigger as well. So I just wanted to share that with you. We have not yet received their formal application. We anticipate that on Monday, and we still anticipate that the May 7th meeting will be a public hearing for that project. We did hold an open house, and a couple of you were able to attend that. Thank you for coming to that. The open house was well attended by the neighborhood and others around the city. I think we had 40 residents, we counted, roughly. So that was a great turnout. A lot of important comments that we are taking very seriously and are trying to do the best we can to address those. A lot of concerns about traffic, a lot of concerns about school security, aesthetics of the building, and a few of those things. And we're going to ask the developer to address all those comments. And anyway, we get at the public hearing next month. So I do want to just quickly have an informal conversation, but I think staff is leaning towards having that our entire commission meeting at St. Jen's Community Center, if we can get the building available that day, or at some other location that would have a little bit more capacity than this. We may end up back here if we can't find a viable site, but I think that just based on the attendance of that open house, we would have a pretty packed room here, and it, we want to make sure that everyone feels comfortable being here. You know, that being said, we may move it and have five people show up, I don't know, but no, we want people to come out for our public hearing and let us hear their thoughts. So we're going to explore other sites and just be ready for that, that we may end up holding our meeting at an alternate site, but it will be within the city, so. Trying to think if there's anything else that kind of came out of that meeting. A traffic study is being prepared. We're hoping to have that, the results of that in time for the public hearing, and so that we can address those concerns at that time. You know, it'll look at whether or not this development, and it'll also look at the kind of imagined commercial and restaurant type space here, and what all that traffic does to this intersection at Centerville Road and Main Street. Does it cause problems there? Does it trigger a need for a traffic signal? Does it, you know, are there issues with buses getting in and out of there, all that kind of stuff?
So I have a question. Just looking at that, is the access going to be on to Centerville Road for the proposed businesses?
Yeah, so if, I'm sorry, the this imagined one, perhaps not, that's probably some poor imagining. So one of the things that this proposal, the change from the Lalonde Ebert's first proposal was that they were going to be redoing Westview Street. That is now not the case. They will not be touching Westview Street. You know, maybe at the intersection here, right, but not rebuilding it all the way to the west. So this imagined space here, you know, would likely result in Westview Street being extended and improved, and likely we would take access off of Westview Street if we can. Maybe this access would line up with the one across the street. It would have to be thought through whether or not that's a good idea, but I know the downtown plan says let's not take access off the main roads, including Centerville Road. This is a little bit more on the outskirts of the of that plan, so maybe it makes sense to do it, but I think, yeah, we would probably take access off of Westview Street. This alignment here is being explored as well, Ms. Klein. The way this parking lot aligns with the street isn't ideal, but it's tricky to get those two to align as well. So we may try to tweak Centerville Road a little bit west. We may try to tweak the parking lot a little bit east and see if we can't get them to line up just a little bit better. But it's tight in either case, so but that is being looked at as well. Again, no formal action being requested, just wanted to update everybody on the process. So.
Okay.
The snow removal will be whose responsibility?
On this one, it would be the developer's responsibility. It will not be, the parking lot will not be city-owned at all. It will be all privately owned. Mm-hmm. That's
it. All right, any further questions on that? If not, we'll move on to new business. The preliminary plat and plan unit development, Peltier Estates. And you're looking for a motion on this?
Yeah, so in, you know, unless there's other discussion on it, we would be looking for a motion to approve the preliminary plat and conditional use permit for a plan unit development for Peltier Estates, along with the findings of fact and conditions detailed in the attached staff memo. So that's an important part. If you read through the packet and those findings and conditions in Phil's and Kurt's memos, those are incorporated by your motion here that I've got outlined. So if there's, certainly be worth spending a couple minutes on those findings and conditions. If there's any questions on those are important to us as well. So. I guess, Mr. Chair, the one thing that is not in that memo is that the requirement to construct a trail along 20th Avenue from their street to the south edge of the property, say an 8-foot bituminous trail.
What do you want to add that then?
I would just add that to one of the conditions in a memo from Phil.
Is there a everybody review it? Anybody got questions?
If I might, Mr. Chair, if you're trying to add that condition number four, you just put a sentence in front of it that would say, an 8-foot wide bituminous trail will be built in the trail corridor outlined in the planner's report. And we'll pick up where this start, where a 20-foot wide trail easement will be recorded.
Okay. Did somebody want to start a motion?
I'll make a motion to add the 8-foot trail.
Okay. You want to?
Mr. Chair, you could take a separate motion just to add that, or you can incorporate that into the larger motion, whichever you like.
We just add it into the number four then.
Okay, yes.
Put in 8-foot trail.
Along the east side of the property.
East side.
From the, I should say, from the street southward.
I'm going to make the overall motion for the condition.
Okay, so I need to redo this?
I can help you out.
Thank you.
So the motion here is stated right here in the requested action section there.
The motion to approve?
Yep.
The preliminary plat and conditional use permit for a planned unit development for Peltier Estates along with the findings of fact and conditions detailed in the attached staff memo.
And then adding the condition.
Adding the 8-foot trail on the east side.
Yes.
In front of the, on number four, on the 20-foot wide trail.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Approval of minutes. I wasn't here last time, so if someone has any questions or any corrections.
I've read the minutes and I would move to accept them.
I second.
Any further discussion on the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Abstain. All right, announcements and updates. Usually it's Councilmember Koski, and I'll reflect to the mayor if he wants to add any reports.
No, just my thanks to all of you for being here and serving in this important role. Welcome to the new members. Definitely appreciate you coming on. I had to wrangle this one in a whole other country, but I'm glad we're here. And thanks for letting me join this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mark, Mr. Administrator's report.
Yeah, we had a nice town hall, as we mentioned. Lots of other things discussed at the town hall besides Lalonde. I think we covered the Lalonde project enough, but we also asked people about our comp plan and had just a nice opportunity to talk with folks about our comp plan. A lot of people didn't know you had a comp plan or never saw the zoning map or the land use guide or any of that kind of stuff. So had a nice opportunity to talk through some of that with folks. And just had a very nice, engaging discussion with a lot of people that night. I thought 3-hour-long town hall, I thought by an hour and a half in we'd be done and I'd be twiddling my thumbs for last. It was 3 hours plus of constant action, so it was great. 20th Avenue Corridor study, the next night we had a very similar turnout to talk about that corridor. Lots of good input there as well. The county's doing a nice job of leading that and the consultant is doing a great job as well. And I think we got some nice designs set up there. It's a consequential project. I mean, it's going to impact businesses. It's going to impact residents. It's some of the things will be painful. Some of the results will be welcomed. I think the one thing that I got out of it was that everyone, county, residents, businesses, all want the traffic to slow down. And I think that's going to be accomplished. And I also was very surprised to see there was sort of a little thing where you could put your vote on what kind of treatments you like the best to slow people down. Roundabouts were top of the list by a long shot.
Wow.
So I know attitudes have you know, people are sort of, either you're a red state or a blue state, and you're a roundabout or you're not a roundabout person, but it was 85% roundabouts. I mean, it was, a lot of people liked the roundabouts. So I think we will end up with some roundabouts on the corridor. It might not be chock full of them like some corridors, but we'll, I think what will probably happen is one at either end to kind of set the stage for, okay, you've hit the roundabout, now you're coming into an urban area, slow down, be aware of your surroundings, and I think it'll be great. The timing of it is really the toughest part to answer. A lot of people, when's this going to happen? And I just don't, we just don't have an answer. I tell people two things. The county and the city do not have it in their CIP. Neither of us have this project, if you want to call it that, in our capital improvement plan. Neither of us have budgeted for it. So there's that. There are pieces of it that have pieces of our budget associated with it. Some of the money we got from Amazon is sort of earmarked for something here, and we might have to kind of pick and choose what that is, what needs to happen first. And then we don't know what's coming, right? I mean, if the, I call it the Aldi block, you know, the corner lot there at 20th and Main, if Aldi was to come there, or Walgreens, or what have you, that might trigger some improvements, and maybe that's the time to then do a larger project. And so whether that becomes one large project, several smaller projects piecemeal together, or we don't do anything for 10 years, those are all options on the table. And but that's what we're doing, we're getting out ahead of it, right? Rather than be reactive, we're trying to be proactive. And, you know, there isn't a lot of accident history. There aren't traffic jams. Really the only real problem I think everyone sees is that it's, the speeds are too fast for the amount of traffic, the amount of entrances and traffic. And that's the kind of the big issue right now. So again, a very nice turnout for that.
A question. There was the Parks and Recs had some suggestions of different improvements for the city. How did that come out?
Yeah.
Any feedback on that?
Yeah, we did get a lot of nice feedback. Town hall, during the town hall, there was we had, like, as Commissioner Olson mentioned, Nelson, sorry, sons mixed up. Community Center was one of the top vote getters. Somewhere here I've got a little graph of it, but it'll probably take me too long to pull up. But yeah, there was a lot of nice feedback. We want to, it was great to get that feedback, but we want to temper it as well, because the open house was attended largely by the neighboring development. Genie's Development was well attended at the meeting. And so while we welcome their input, and that's very valuable input, we don't want to base all of our decisions on that group of people. We want to have other demographics involved as well, other parts of the city. And so we're going to try to do that same thing at Fête de l'Ox, maybe at, you know, a music in the park night, or, you know, something like that too, right, where we can get a larger group of people and see if those results change a little bit. For instance, skate park was very low on the voting scale. Is that because there's not a lot of younger children in that neighborhood? I don't know. Or maybe just people don't, that's lower on their priority list. We don't know. So want to vet those things a little bit more, but it was a great start, and just good to have that participation. So learned a lot of things that I think some of the things were a little bit surprising, right? Like, oh, I didn't know people felt strongly about this or that. So it was great. Mm-hmm. Yep. Beyond that, you know, not a lot else going on development-wise right now. This is our development here, Peltier Estates. Old Mill Estates still have not gotten a formal application from them on the third edition there, that couple lot development. I've spoken to a couple members of the public about that one. You know, a couple of neighboring properties had concerns, and we discussed with them a bit. Had a little bit of a few nibbles on 1737 Main Street. Nothing particularly serious at this point, but people are still interested in that site. If folks don't know, that's the site, the small site next to the school that we own in the northeast corner of Progress Road and Main Street. It's about a half acre of property.
I won't block 7. Nothing going on there.
Nothing with block 7, really, no. Probably before we meet again, you may see at least the preparation for the alum treatment for Centerville Lake. So that's going to move forward. The Watershed District got a large grant to do an alum treatment, which means our lake will be much, 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 much clearer very, very quickly, within a week probably of that treatment. It'll be a lot clearer than it ever has been, and we'll stay that way for a good 20 years, we hope. The one consequence, of course, is that more weeds come up because the light's actually getting down to the underlayment below, but it's going to be a great asset for the city to have that lake cleaned up. So I think that's about all I have, and I'd take any questions on anything else going on around town.
Is the county's park still moving forward there, resurfacing the entrance?
Yeah, they are. So it's more than just a resurfacing. It's a complete reconstruction of the road out to the campground. So that's the one that's really kind of parallel to Mountain Trail. So not the road to Wargo Nature Center, but the road to the campground and the end of the beach is being reconstructed. And that's going to start very soon as well. We're hoping we can get the alum treatment people in there and out of there before they get too far along. At least we want to get the alum people in there, and maybe we can get them out somehow other way. But we're going to try to do that, work that timing out. So. Anything else?
I can get a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Dismissed.
Thanks.
Okay.